Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. Have a seat. Glad that y'all are here this morning, and welcome to worship. And if you're a guest with us today, just thanks for being here and checking us out and seeing what the Lord has in store for you today. If you're joining us online, thank you for taking time to do that as well. A couple of announcements. September 8th, we're going to have worship outside in the tent, kind of our fall kickoff, back to school, all the big stuff. That's when all the new classes will start. The Sunday nights will kick off. It'll all be outside that night with games, and we're doing a cookout. But also that day, we're doing the same thing. So we'll have a cookout after church. We'll have a coffee truck, and we'll have a lemonade truck that'll be here that day. So bring your lawn chair and get ready for that. But also, Dallas, you want to tell them what the theme is for that night?
It's 90s. Woo! Come on. Come on, we need better than
oh
that.
Oh my gosh.
Go. I like 90s, come on. Yeah.
Well, with that kind of response, maybe we need to rethink the theme. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, being a child of the 80s and the 90s, more of the 80s, but really, worship in the 90s was the major switch to kind of what we do today. And so we're going to pull out some, I really hate to say it, golden oldies that are going to be really fun.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anything over 30 years old is really considered an antique.
I'm looking at you.
I'm aware.
I thought you were going to say you're looking at me.
No, I was just waiting for it. So come that night, come that day, bring friends and family. It'd be a great day of celebration. The reason we're really doing it that day, that'll be our official transition to our new branding and our new church name of The Way, LBK, here in Lubbock, Texas. And so that will be kind of the big kickoff. Hopefully, all the signs will be in place. Everything will be switched over by then. And so we get to show Lubbock, Texas, who we are as The Way of Jesus Christ. We're still a part of St. Luke's. And so if you're asking that question, many of you have. I know we've talked about it a lot, but we're still one church on two campuses. We're just kind of rebranding to show Lubbock kind of our mission and the characteristics of who we are here. Nothing's changed about our character. Nothing's changed about who we are in Jesus Christ. But hopefully, we'll make just enough of a change on the outward appearance that will maybe show Lubbock that we're just a little bit different than who they think we are. So I just want to pray for us as we talk about being the way of Jesus, a people of the way, and who you are in Christ today. Lord God, I am thankful that we get to gather in your holy name, Father, as a people of Jesus Christ. Father, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's all that we want to communicate to the world, that we are, as Scripture says, a people of the way of Jesus. Lord, and I pray that as we say that, Lord, that we would start living it. We would live that way in our households. We would live that way in our jobs. We would live that way in our schools, in our relationships, our friendships, our marriages. Father, everywhere, Lord, that we would show people that we do believe in you and we follow you, not just in name, but in practice. Father, in transformation, in spirit and in truth. Lord, let it be so here today as we celebrate, Lord, as we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, because you are the King of Kings. You are the way that leads to eternal life, not just in the future, but right here, right now. And I make my prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So with your heads bowed, and just if you have a need today, whatever it might be, Lord, it might be healing. Lord, talked to a couple people this morning just about some of that in their lives physically. But whatever your need is, Lord, emotionally or physically, financially, just raise a hand, not to me, but you're just signifying to the Lord that you just need his attention. Father, you see these hands today. and you don't have to keep them up. He knows who you are. Father, you see these hands today, even people at home and online or wherever they are now or whenever this might be. Lord, they need your attention. I need your attention today. Lord, I just pray by the power of the blood of Christ, Lord, that you would just reign in our lives. Father, that you would flow in us and through us. Lord, your Holy Spirit would minister to us today. Father, would tend to our needs. Father, would just put a bandage and stitch up those areas of our lives where there's injury and hurt, heartache. Father, that you would fill the empty gaps and places in our lives, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, and those might be financial. Lord, they may be just some emotional things going on in our lives. Father, I don't know what all the needs are, but praise you that you do. And Father, you don't forget us. You don't leave us out on our own. Father, you call us to yourself. And so as we acknowledge our needs, Lord, I pray that we would look to you, the one that's going to fulfill those needs, Lord, to answer our prayers today. Lord, not the self-help section somewhere. Lord, not any other thing. Lord, we call upon your holy name and we call upon fellow believers today to join with us in prayer that your divine nature would be with us. And Lord, and as we do that, we also pray that you would just speak to us through your holy word today. Lord, that your scripture would come to life in our lives. Lord, that we would put it into practice this week. Not just hear it, Lord, not just to check a box that we came to church, but Lord, to remember it tomorrow when we go to work or go to school, on Wednesday when we're having trouble with somebody, and on Friday when we're getting ready to have fun for the weekend or travel or whatever it might be, Lord, that we would abide in you all of this week until we gather together again. And Lord, not just for ourselves, but Lord, then put somebody in our pathway, Lord, that also needs to hear from you, and let us be your voice, your hands, your feet. Let us be your life in the world. In Jesus' name I pray today. Amen. You may be seated. Going to pray for your money. So glad that you brought that with you today. Amen. How many of you don't have any money with you today? Everybody's got money, right? You're like, well, I just have a debit card. So glad that we have an opportunity for you to be able to give online, to be able to do that. There's all sorts of ways to give. And hear me, I'm so sincere about this. I don't really personally care about how much you give. I just want you to hear from the Lord and you give what God's calling you to. We count on him in the church. He's never left us out to dry. We've always made it. There's always an abundance, and so I'm just so glad for that. And that's called faithfulness, so I'm going to call upon your faithfulness to him today. Lord God, as we give today, thank you, God, for the money. Lord, and I mean that so, so honestly. Lord, thank you for your provision. Sometimes it's not money. Sometimes you just provide for us in different ways. Lord, but we need money to pay light bills. We need money to buy food. We need money for gas. We need money for our health, all sorts of things. But Lord, it really comes down to one thing, and it's our good steward, being a good steward of this money that you've given us. And so, Lord, teach us how to do that. Lord, teach us how to spend it wisely. Teach us how to save it wisely. Teach us how to give to you as you call us to. Might be 10%. It might be 30%. I don't know, Lord, but you make the communication. Lord, and let us hear you, let us listen to you, and let us be obedient to you as you are faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Dallas.
How's it going, man?
Going good.
Good, good. Hey, I heard you had a new class starting up, new Bible class.
I do.
Why don't you tell me about it?
Not just me. I'll try something a little different this time. Last time I did, it was myself and my wife, we did one, and it was great. I had a fun time, but
I heard about that. I heard it was good.
I'm gonna actually try to do some team teaching this time, so I, some of the guys weren't happy about it, but I went through the congregation and I found a few guys to help me do a team teaching.
Like you got voluntold?
More volunteer.
Okay.
Told.
Voluntold. I think they got voluntold.
Said I need help.
50-50.
Said I need help, and they stood up and helped. So There's going to be a new teaching. It's going to start September 8th, which is the official happening of the way here. But we're actually going to kind of go over finding your purpose and how to manage the obstacles within that journey. So it's available to everyone. But at the same time, if you know what your purpose is, you're still more than welcome to come, because there are always still obstacles within the journey of getting to the purpose that you are called for by God. So I just ask that if you feel like you want to find your purpose, or you know your purpose and you're having trouble with the obstacles, that you guys just come on, gals, come on and just learn with us. You know, the more input we have in the small group, the better. Because there's questions that I can think of. There's questions that that John or Derek, any of the guys helping me teach, Robbie, Ray, we all can have questions. We all can have answers. But to have some other input definitely helps, because there's always somebody out there who has the same problem who may be afraid to ask it. So help us get over the obstacles in finding out what our purpose is and just doing all of the work for God.
So what you're saying is you don't know all the answers, but you're still willing to step up and do the thing, right? I don't even think he knows all the answers.
No, I don't know all the answers. If I knew all the answers, then...
But we do it all together. We come together.
Yes, definitely. Great.
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Definitely. What time is that class?
September 8th. It starts September 8th.
And what time is it going to be?
I believe it's a small group. Is it not? Is that what you asked?
9:30.
Where is it going to be? Do you know?
Conference room. I do have all the answers. Look at that.
He does have all the answers. Excellent.
Let me tell y'all this. He kicked us to the conference room last time.
And then we had to end up switching because his group was bigger than my group, which I am really great with. I'm so glad for that. And so let's hope that happens again and I get six more weeks off. That would be great. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Got plenty of guys to fill in, so we'll be all right.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. How many of y'all thought that was going to start out like a really bad junior high school skit? Kind of the way I was feeling there.
I mean, it was great.
It was. It kind of was. It was really good. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Kids are dismissed for children's worship, and there's Nicole over there, our trusty fill-in, all things children's pastor-wise, and so glad that she's here. If anybody wants to go help her, you are more than welcome to do that. You think you're good? We always think we're good, and then disaster strikes. By the way, the links for applications for Children's Pastor are up on the website, on our social media. If you know of anybody, we're going to do that through this coming Friday, and so it closes on Friday. We would love a lot of qualified applicants to pick from. And so if you know somebody that you think might be interested in that, send it their way. Here's what I would say, and I mean this, not being funny, not being a jerk, not being my normal self, is don't just give that to anybody. I mean, prayerfully think about who you're giving that to. I would rather you... sift through your own applicants in your mind rather than us get a bunch of unqualified applicants, well-meaning but unqualified, and us have to sift through them. I would rather you tell them no before we have to tell them no. Does that make sense? Yeah, I would much rather that happen. It's better. You know them. You know people that might be interested and might be really good at this, and so would love for you to be able to do that. We're really looking for who God wants to send our way. We're not going to fill the position just to fill the position, all right? We have 150 children's pastors in here right now. Y'all are like, there ain't no way. There's only 52 Sundays of the year. We got it covered for a whole year in here, amen? But there's people walking out the back right now. No, we're not going to fill it just for the sake of filling it. And just because we don't fill it doesn't mean that we didn't really find somebody, but we really do want who God called sending to us and who feels called to ministry. It's not a job. It's like the Army ad. It's not a job, and it's an adventure. it's a calling. It really is. And so we want to make sure we have the right person. We want to kind of try to start this. I forget all the time a lot of things, and some of you are laughing right now because I forgot you today. Sorry, Tori. And Facebook, Instagram, X, formerly known as, isn't that funny? All the different social media platforms that we were on. We would really appreciate it as a congregation if you would start liking those when you're there. I don't know how you feel about check-ins, but if you want to check in anytime, I'm a little leery of check-in. I don't like for people to know when I'm not home. Amen? Yeah, I mean, I know not everybody's going to rob our houses, but that's just the old cop in me thinking about that. But really, liking and sharing all of our posts, I mean, anytime you see one, if you would share that or like it, it really does help. I told you back at the first of the year that we on social media and Google, we're just practically unrecognized, even though we've been around forever, okay? And so we're trying to fix all the analytics and all the algorithms and all the things. And so if y'all would help us with that, it would be greatly appreciated. I see none of you are taking out your phones right now, and I really appreciate that. But if you would take out your phones right now and get on social media and check those, that would be fantastic, all right? We're going to start today a little mini-series for the next 3 weeks, basically, and it's going to be called Christian Ease. I think there's a lot of things we say in the church that none of us have a clue what we're talking about, or we've heard them all of our lives in church, and maybe heard a sermon on it, or we might have heard it in a conversation, or a Sunday school, a Bible teaching, but nobody really explained it. We say a lot of things. We have a lot of secret handshakes and words. Depends on kind of which congregation or church you go to in the world. Sometimes you don't know when to stand up or sit down, when to put your left foot in or put your right foot out, you know, those kinds of things. I don't like that. I want to make it just as easy and friendly and welcoming to everyone. And so we started thinking about this, and I heard a word that I really didn't even know. And I had to go look it up and kind of study through it and think about it. And so I thought, well, if there's some that I don't know, there might be some you don't know. And so we're going to start that today. And we're going to get to the word in a minute and the scripture. But to lead up to that, I want to tell you what the word alleviates in our life first before we get to the word, all right? And so if you want the notes, you can text the word notes to that phone number right there, and you can get those today, or you can scan this QR code and get them as well. So really, I want to start today with talking about our conscience. How many of you have a conscience? And the ones that didn't raise your hand, your spouse is next to you and said, I'm aware they don't have a conscience. What is our conscience? It usually, the simplest form of a conscience is it usually directs our actions, or it guides our responses to actions. It guides our responses to feelings. Our conscience is supposed to be somewhat of a guide. And everybody has one, okay? Now, some people say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit might speak to your conscience, but your conscience is not the Holy Spirit. Trust me, I've been around some of you when we had a debate over our consciences, and the Holy Spirit was not involved whatsoever. Okay, and so it's not the same thing. They do interact, but it usually a conscience. It's pretty much a standalone on its own, right? Right or wrong, good or bad, indifferent or not, you do have one. Okay, and Tim Keller is a former pastor from New York. had a giant church there called Redeemer, and really kind of changed the face of Christianity in New York City over the last 30 years. Tim died this last year and really left a gap in the Christian community. But some of the things that he did in his life was really this idea of how our psychological response is to Christianity, all the things that people want to argue about. Because think about it, in New York, it's a different landscape of faith than it is in Lubbock, Texas, okay? We don't necessarily think about psychology or doctrine or any of that kind of stuff when it comes to Christianity or how we live our lives, but in some enlightened, more enlightened liberal places, they do. New York was one of those. And so Tim Keller did this research with the psychologist and really boiled it down to two things here when it comes to our conscience, right? There's guilt that we feel when we do something wrong or when we don't do something that we should have done, rightly or wrongly. And those two kinds of guilts are this. There's overt guilt and there's covert guilt. Overt guilt is when you do something or don't do something and you know it's wrong. You feel bad about it. You snapped at a friend or your spouse or your children, or you got the wrong amount of change at the grocery store and you knew it, but it was just going to be too much trouble and you didn't want to mess with it, or you didn't realize it till you got home that maybe one of your kids put a candy bar in their pocket and then you didn't pay for it. You know, that is overt guilt. And so you felt badly about that and you need to do something about it. You need to remedy that guilt. But there's also covert guilt, which I think is much more deadly. Covert guilt is that guilt that kind of sneaks up on you over life, right? Covert guilt is you feel like you weren't a good enough parent. You feel like maybe you failed your spouse in some way over the last 10 years or 15 years, 20 years. I don't know what that might be. You weren't a good child to your parents, maybe when you were younger or as an adult child taking care of your older parents. All of these things, right? This covert guilt builds up over time. And as I thought about that, I take cholesterol medicine. It's genetic. It's just part of my life. And if I don't take it, my cholesterol is above 300. If I do take that little itty-bitty pill, it's about 100, right? If I don't take it, what happens? Plaque builds up in my arteries over time, right? I don't know that it's there until it's too late. It hardens the arteries, it constricts the blood flow, and it can cause a heart attack or a stroke. See, I think covert guilt is the exact same way. You let it build up over years and years and years and years, and it hardens your heart and your soul. It creates a shell around your spiritual life to where you're hardened and you're not receiving what God has for you. Covert guilt is the one that will slowly kill you, right? But here's the deal about all this guilt is that culture really defines our guilt as subjective. And by that, I mean, well, I feel badly because I said something or I did something, and I just need to go ride my mountain bike for an hour, and I can get rid of that guilt. Or I need to go on vacation to alleviate the guilt in my life. Or I need to go out and party. I need to hang out with some friends. I need to just talk it over with someone, and they can alleviate me of my guilt, right? It's purely subjective. It's just a feeling, and it's something that we get hooked on. Not the hooked on a feeling from the 1970s. Hooked on a feeling, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Not that song, right? Really a feeling that the world says you can just get rid of. No, but Christianity, Jesus says in his own way that guilt, or God says in his own way that guilt can be objective. And by objectifying guilt, we don't have to worry about this idea of feeling, because what we're feeling is only this deception in our life, right? If I feel guilt, okay, it is true. Maybe I feel badly about something, but I need to talk to God about it because God has a remedy for it. Because if it's objective, here's the thing, is that God's not worried necessarily about my guilt. He's worried about the heart from which I'm feeling this guilt. He's worried about this attitude I have. And you might be saying, where does God tell me this? Well, he tells us that he doesn't look at our outward appearance. What does he look at? He looks at our heart. He looks at our inward appearance. And so, regardless of what I've been doing, right, or how I've been feeling, is, let's just take an example. How many of you, I don't know, if your house looks like a wreck, you start feeling guilt and shame over that. Anybody in here? There's some of you. Oh, some of you are pointing at people. That's really funny. I love that. Is that, like, at our house, we're pretty, I mean, we're not clean freaks by any stretch of the imagination, but we like everything, like, put away, and everything kind of has its place. It might be dusty, but at least it's in its place and it's dusty. Amen? Can I get an amen? I need a witness. Right? But if we get busy and one day we don't make the bed and then the second day we don't make the bed and we don't put the towels up, or, you know, we just kind of leave things laying around, or we walk in and shoes get left and the counters and the dishes and the pots and the pans and whatever, I start kind of feeling a little anxious about that. And here's why, is because y'all post things on Instagram and I see your beautiful living rooms in the background, and then I start comparing my living room to your living room and I get really shameful about that, right? Or your clothes or your laundry or your cars or whatever it might be. See, this is what society does to us, but yet thank God, truly, that God doesn't worry about how my living room looks. He doesn't worry about the laundry piling up. He doesn't worry about my hairstyle or lack of hairstyle. He doesn't worry about my clothes. He doesn't worry about my bank account. He doesn't worry about any of that stuff. He worries about my heart. And so this idea of covert guilt and subjective or objective really brings us to the point of, what do we do with our guilt? How do we deal with it? Because I bet, if I passed out a piece of paper, all of y'all could write down, if you've been alive for any amount of time, you could write down one thing that you feel guilty about today. You could write down one thing you are ashamed of, or you feel shame for, that you've done. And so what I want to talk about today is how God addresses that. God does show up in our guilt, not to make you feel more guilty, but to give you an idea of what to do with that guilt. How to deal with that guilt, because what he does is he says that I have already atoned, right, for your sins. I've already atoned for what's going on in your life. And so there's this word, atonement. So the Christianese word of the day is atonement, and this is where we're going to land today. Now, atonement sounds like a big, giant word. It's not a big deal, but we use it, we talk about it. And we kind of start sounding like a little bit of a cult when we talk about some of these Christianese words. Atonement might be one of them. And I want to give you three basic concepts before we read the scripture, because you're going to hear them in the scripture about atonement. And the first one is, it's an ingredient of atonement, and it really means Jesus paid a ransom for us. Now, not a ransom like we were held hostage and he paid a ransom, even though I could make the argument, but really it means this. Let's say I invite one of you out to lunch this week, and I say, hey, I want to take you to lunch, and I want to take you to a really nice, let's go to dinner, actually, and we're going to go to Double Nickel Steakhouse. Exactly. Exactly. That's why I'm only taking you and not your spouse and your family. And so we're going to Double Nickel. We get there. We have a great time. I mean, you know, it's $100 a person, and the check comes, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm inviting you to dinner, and I forgot my wallet, right? And I say, can you pay? And you're like, I can't pay $200 for a meal. I don't have $200 with me. My credit card's maxed out. There's no way I can put that on a debit card. I can't pay for this, right? And so the server comes by and gets ready to take the check, and we're like, hey, we don't have any money, right? And I tried to leave a negative tip to take away from the bill. They didn't buy that either. And so we're like, well, we don't know what we're going to do. And then this stranger comes up and says, hey, I'm going to pay for your meal. Why would you do that? Well, just because you need me to pay for your meal. Like, I just want to do this out of the kindness of my heart. I know you both owe something. You both can't pay it. I'm going to pay it for you. What's the catch? There is no catch. I'm just paying it. That's the ransom we're talking about. This is where I owe. We sing a song. Dallas can tell me if he remembers. He's going to know it. He's the lyrical genius back there. There's a rap song about that somewhere in my heart that I'm not going to sing right now. Right. And so where we say, we paid a ransom that I owed a ransom I could not pay. Right. You paid a debt that I owed. Right. I mean, all these things, these ideas. That's what we're talking about when we talk about ransom. He paid for us when we couldn't pay for our sins. And then he was able to do that because he's blameless. The second ingredient of atonement is blameless. He was blameless. He had no sin. He had no shame. He had no guilt. He's spotless and blameless. And then the other one is that he covered us. And we're going to talk about being covered in the blood of Jesus in a minute, which really sounds like a Christianese and cult, if you've ever heard of one in your life, being covered by the blood. Okay? And so, are you caught up? I know it's a lot, but it's really important. So here's the last thing about atonement before we read the scripture. Okay, so we're talking about our overt guilt and our covert guilt. We're talking about Jesus paid the price for us. But here's where it comes from in Scripture. Is in the Old Testament, they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have somebody up on the cross. They had to give animal sacrifices according to the law that God had given to Moses, right? It's all throughout Leviticus. You can read this. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to tell you really quickly is that they would bring a sacrifice. They would bring a goat or a lamb, right? They would sacrifice it on the altar, and they did that to atone for their sins. They did that to pay their debt. They did that for the forgiveness of their sins. And so when they sacrificed the animal, then there was lots of blood, right? I mean, you cut an animal open, there's blood running off the altar. I mean, we see it as something really pretty, and that's where we take communion, or we have the really pretty giant open Bible, you know, or the green or the red cloths that go on there, the candles. No, it was nasty and gross, and it smelled, right? So they did that, and then I don't know what the reasoning was. I don't know what would cause this. I don't know what they had to do to receive this, but it probably would have been me that had to do this. But for some reason, occasionally, or whatever the reason was, they would take the blood of the animal and they would sprinkle it on the person, the sinner, to be washed in the blood, right? To receive that redemption and that atonement and that forgiveness. Now, I don't know what that was for. I don't know why that was, other than the fact that whatever had happened, they thought they needed it. That's how we get that washed in the blood. But then there was one day a year. This is all you're going to remember today, some of you. There was one day a year where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, right? The place where God's presence actually resided in the tabernacle. And they would take two goats. Right, they would take two perfect rams. They would take one in, and for one of those rams, it was a really bad day. They got sacrificed. For the other ram, right, the priest, the high priest, would pray over that ram, and in his heart and his mind, he would symbolically place all the sins of the people over the last year on that ram, and then they would release it out into the wilderness. Guess what they called that goat? The scapegoat. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow and you're going to think you're the smartest person at the coffee pot because you're going to talk about the scapegoat. But so when you hear about this day of atonement, that's what we're talking about, this sacrifice and this scapegoat. So here we go. All that is leading up to this. This idea of this letter was written to the Hebrews. These were the Jewish people learning to become Christians and following Jesus and no longer sacrificing, no longer needing the Day of Atonement, no longer needing to shed the blood of an animal, because it says this, "Now when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship, but into the second only, the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance." The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed, while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. This is us today. According to both gifts, right? According to both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they only relate to the food, drink, and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. Y'all had no idea you were coming to such a confusing day of worship, did you? All of that is to say, the letter to the Hebrews, inspired by God, is saying, you used to do it this way, that way didn't work. It didn't change your heart. It didn't fix the relationship between you and I, God said, because your heart was still unclean. Your heart was still a sinner. Your heart was still in debt. He said, so what does all this mean for us? What's the point, basically? Well, then he says to these people that had been sacrificing animals all of their lives, all of their parents' lives, their grandparents' lives, their great-grandparents' lives for thousands of years, he says this. But when Christ appeared as the high priest, see, they would know what that meant. This high priest that went into the Holy of Holies, that went into the very presence of the God, just like Jesus, when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things have come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all time, having obtained eternal redemption. For it is the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, here's where I want to land today. Atonement is about Jesus being the high priest. Atonement is about Jesus being the one that makes the sacrifice for you and for me. This really complicated word, atonement, is not hard, right? It just means that Jesus did something for us. Jesus atoned for our sins. Jesus took our place for our sins. Jesus is the one that did this, right? He became our mediator, right? He stood between us and God, and he goes to God on your behalf. If you always feel guilty, if you always feel shame, if you always beat yourself up, I want you to next time think of Jesus. Hearing your sin, seeing your sin, you asking forgiveness for your sin, he takes that and he says, I've got it. I'm going to go to God. I'm taking all this that you're feeling and I'm going to God and I'm going to be the one who asks for your forgiveness on my behalf. You can't do anything about it. You can take that sin and that shame and all that stuff and that guilt. You can't do anything about it. You could try. You could sacrifice. You could do all the good works. You could do whatever you think you can do. But Jesus is the only one, and he becomes the mediator. And then he becomes the blameless sacrifice. God said, there's not enough blood, there's not enough goats, there's not enough rams, there's not enough calves, there's not enough pigeons or doves in all of my creation that can justify what you have done. And I know we can go back to Adam and Eve, but we're still doing it. And he says, I'm going to send you my son. That's the only thing that's going to take the place of you on the cross, is Jesus. And then he says, I'm going to be the ransom and the redeemer, right? I'm going to be the ransom. Not the goat that is taken into the Holy of Holies. Not the scapegoat that's going to take away and go into the wilderness your sins and you be redeemed. No, Jesus says, I'm going to be the redeemer. I'm going to atone for your sins. And I'm going to be the one that forgives you. Remember, Jesus says when he's talking to people and everybody's listening, Jesus says, not only are you healed, he says, but your sins are forgiven. Boy, that just scared everybody to death. That worried the religious elite. That worried the moms and the dads that were trying to teach their kids about who God was and about all these ideas of sacrifice and that what you had to do to be forgiven. Jesus says, none of that's working. I'm going to forgive your sins because God has given me the power. But he's also the healer of your guilt and shame. And I think this is where we feel it. Because I know we sin, and I know we do things we shouldn't do, and I know we get separated from God, but we don't think about that as much as we do the guilt and the shame. We don't think about, we don't nearly think about the lies that we told to get out of something as we do the guilt and the shame we feel days and weeks and months later. We don't, I know that we broke a relationship. But we really, the relationship really didn't matter as much as how badly we feel about what we did in the relationship. And Jesus says, I can heal you of that. I can heal you of that. And the way that he does it is the fact that Jesus' sacrifice is greater than any of the condemnation in your heart. My favorite, easiest, simplest passage of scripture, when somebody says they don't deserve or they feel or whatever, I say, here's what we do. We look at Scripture, and Jesus says, there's no condemnation in me. Jesus says, I have no condemnation for you because I'm bringing redemption. I'm bringing atonement. And so what I want to go back to really quickly is Hebrews 9, 13 through 14, and look at this. He says this, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer are those who have been defiled, sanctify for cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself in the blemish of God cleanse your conscience? I want you to feel good about being a Christian. I really mean that. I don't want you to go through life with eternal guilt. Neither does Jesus. What I mean, you talk about the worst advertising of all time for Christianity, please come get saved, but still feel bad about yourself. We don't need that, right? I don't need you to have Christian guilt. There is no such thing. Let me say it again. There is no such thing as Christian guilt because there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. You need to feel that freedom because in that freedom, that's where salvation resides. So, what does all this mean? Atonement. You're going to remember scapegoat tomorrow, and then you're going to remember this little breakdown of the word atonement. Why did God send Jesus to atone for our sins? Why do we use this Christianese word, atonement? Because when God said, somebody needs to atone for your sins. Something needs to atone for your sins. And then he sent Jesus. It's because he really wanted to be at one mint with us. He wanted us to be one together. He wanted us to be together, not to be separated. Atonement is just God's way of bringing us into relationship with him. That's it. So simple, so easy. And it really is. Now, it's a little more difficult to process because of that guilt and that shame in our conscience. But I think really, and this is not an indictment, right? It's not something to make you feel even more guilt and shame. I just thought of that. Is that we really don't understand the only reason God sent Jesus is just so you'll be with him. And not to have that guilt and not to have that shame. He doesn't say, don't repent. No, he wants you to repent. That's what our conscience is for, is to feel that and to know that. But when he says, your sins are forgiven, they really are. And I said it this morning in our small group, here's why we have a problem with that, is because when we sin against somebody, right? If you sin against me, I have a really good memory, amen? I can't remember to call Tori on Friday, but I can remember if you hurt my feelings from now until Jesus comes back. Jesus doesn't remember. When we ask for forgiveness and we repent of our sins, when you do that, I want you to think of placing your sins, your guilt, your shame on Jesus Christ. And as our scapegoat, those sins go away with Jesus. He takes those to the altar of God and they get burned away. Scripture even says, I do not remember your sins as far as they are from the east is from the west. I want you to think about this on a map. You need a flat map to really get this, right? If you go north on a map, eventually when you get to the top of the world, you're going to be going what? South. As far as the east is from the west. If you start going east, are you ever going to get to the west? You're always going east. They never connect. They never will meet. As far as the east is from the west. We don't need a scapegoat. We have Jesus. I know that you know your sins are forgiven. I just want you to feel differently about them today. I just want you to feel that there's no condemnation in Christ. So I want to pray over you. Now listen, I say this all the time and hardly any of you take me up on it, and that's okay. But if you want to come do some business with God at the at these cushions up here, or just stand or kneel at your chair and just really say, Lord, I want release from this condemnation that I have put upon myself. Jesus does not condemn you. God does not condemn you. That I put upon myself. Now, I really want you to do that, because just as much as you love your children when they really regret doing something and you want to forgive them and you want them to move on and they keep beating themselves up, that's the same way God feels about you. He really wants you to let this go. So let's pray. Lord, I hope everyone else is too, Lord. At home right now, or in this room, Lord, that we just know that you love us. Lord, that maybe there's a new, Father, just a new sense of understanding that maybe, possibly, we got it wrong up until now. And today, okay, you really do forgive me, God. Jesus, you really do love me so much that you really did die because you love me, knowing all the things that I've done and even all the things I'm going to do. And then you still don't even condemn me. How is that possible? Because there is no love greater than this, that one would lay down his life for his brother, for his friend, that Jesus did for us. So then secondly, Lord, I pray that as we understand that, Lord, that you would help us be free from the guilt and the shame. That probably 90% of the times we don't deserve, that we just heap upon ourselves because we didn't do something exactly like we should have. Or we actually did something that we should not have and we are so regretful that we hurt someone or we let someone down. Lord, free us from that today. Church, I just pray that you would just drop that. Loosen your grip on those things that you're holding on to and just let those drop to the ground and you just continue to walk and follow Jesus and leave those things behind. And Lord, where there's some work to do in relationships with someone, Lord, I pray that you'd give us the strength and the wisdom to be able to do that. Lord, and if there's no chance to do that, Lord, I pray that you would still give us that freedom from that guilt and that shame. Give us that freedom from condemnation. Lord, let us just rejoice in you. Because, Father, Your joy is our strength today. Let it be so in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Before you leave today, we're going to pack snack packs. Great mission opportunity. Spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. That's about all it takes us to get everything done. We'd love for you to stay and do that. This is for all of the Cooper kids on the weekends that they have a need, and we help fill that need. And so we're glad to be able to do that, but we need your help to do it. So remember that. And then Tori is going to give us our parting blessing today.
Lord, today we got a new glimpse of your love for us. Lead us this week in your freedom from not just guilt from sin, but freedom from itself. Show us true freedom so we can help free others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.